each and every one tonight. And we give everyone a warm welcome into their service in the name of the Lord. I'm sure if you didn't hear, I'll send it out over the message. I don't know if everyone has it or not, but John Noble's very ill. He's got cancer. And they're saying it's not looking too good for him. And he's in hospital. And I contacted Brother Andrew Beecham again today, this evening, to see if there's any more news. There's no more news, but Andrew's going down there to preach this weekend, so he's going to let me know if he hears any more. But please remember to pray for John Noble. And we really enjoyed Brother John Noble when he came over here, but it was a real blessing every time he came, you know. And John came here in the early 90s. And he came a lot of times, and it really was a blessing every time he came, and we appreciate our brother John, praise God. And also Sister Lynn says she's recovering well, slow recovery, but she's recovering well. Keep her Sister Lynn in prayer as well, praise God. And then don't forget, Sunday night, Brother Nigel's going to share his testimony on Sunday night. So pray for Brother Nigel for Sunday night, that the Lord will really bless him on Sunday night. And we really enjoyed Brother Jackie and Jean on Sunday. And he does a meeting himself. He preaches around a lot, but he does a service himself once a month in his house. Now his service is this weekend. The weekend Andrew comes is not the weekend he does a service, but he's going to ask them would they like a service that weekend. So Andrew might be preaching at Jackie's house on the weekend he comes here as well. So we thank God that'll be another opening if that comes off. So just pray for all these meetings and the different things that the Lord will have his way. Amen. Amen. Let's turn in our Bibles tonight to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 12. And just read a wee bit different from the last couple of weeks I've been preaching on manna from heaven. We're still manna. But I want to talk about what constitutes a New Testament church. And about being a member. Now we don't believe on membership. There's membership, but there's real membership. And we want the real membership. Amen. And what constitutes a New Testament church? I'm going to read from 1 Peter 1 and 12 and then from Acts 2. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you, but the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. So they preached it by the Holy Ghost, 1 Peter 1 verse 12, sent down from heaven. Which things the angels desire to look into. Then we read Acts 2:36. And this is interesting when you read prior to 38. Acts 2:36 down. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. I want you to remember that. Mark it in your Bible if you want. But he's made him both Lord and Christ. Verse 37. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the hands of the apostles. And all that believed were together and held all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. Praise God. Let's just come and bow our heads tonight, and you keep your finger in Acts of the Apostles, where the brother put the scriptures up. If you have a need tonight, just lift your hand up before the Lord, and we're going to pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank and praise you tonight that we can bow before you in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who you have made both Lord and Christ. We thank you for that this evening, Lord, and we've come to worship you and praise your holy name. We ask that you bless the service, bless the gathering together, for we've come in your name.
For the hands that's raised for needs, Lord, I pray you'll meet every need. Lord, I ask that you'll wash me afresh in the blood of the Lamb. Forgive me for every wrong thought, every wrong word and deed in Jesus' precious name. Cleanse us with your precious blood. Fill us afresh with your Spirit, Lord. Anoint us afresh with the Holy Ghost. And Lord, we know the Holy Spirit's been poured out. And I take the precious Holy Spirit in Jesus Christ's name to help me. And I thank you, Lord, you do undertake for me. Bless her sister Lynn. Give her full recovery of strength and health in the name of the Lord. And Father, for John Noble, touch him, we pray in Jesus' precious name. And bless your brother Andrew as he goes down this weekend to preach. May you lead him and guide him and bless him. Bless your brother Nigel of the Albert's Tory this weekend. And Lord, just have your way amongst us in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. It's maybe seated. Praise God. Here it's evident to see. My father said a good thing the other week. He said, I'm going to take another man's sermon. And I know before he said Peter, people was wondering whose sermon he using. But it was Peter's sermon. And when Peter here preached, well, the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. That's how Peter preached. He preached to the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven and the revelation and declaration of the name that God has made Jesus both Lord and Christ. Amen. So Peter not only preached with a declaration of the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, but Peter preached the revelation, as we've read, that Jesus was made both Lord and Christ. Amen. Praise God. Isn't that something? Praise the Lord. Now the conviction was promised by the Lord. And when you read John 16, verse 8 to 11, I have quite a few scriptures tonight. But you see, you can't say, I'll bring conviction in the meeting. I can't determine I will bring conviction in the meeting. If you can do that, show me how to do it. I want to know how to do it. You can preach the gospel, you can preach the Holy Spirit, you can do all them things. And we know God will honor his word, but ultimately, it is God, by his Spirit, that brings conviction. And if the Spirit of God does not move, then it won't be moved.
That's right. Amen.
Now I know we can do all sorts of things, but that won't change it. It has to be God that moves.
Amen.
And when God moves, the Bible says, who'll let it? In other words, nobody can stop it when God does move. When God takes to moving, and we know on the day of Pentecost, and we know that Pentecost, the book of Acts, is the inauguration of the church. That's where the church began, was at the day of Pentecost. And the Holy Ghost came at the beginning of the church beginning. And you see the effects it had when the Holy Ghost came. Amen. How many believe this? It's the Holy Ghost. Without the Spirit of God, nothing will happen. I'm telling you. I don't care if somebody's gifted or how good they are or anything. That's nothing to do with it. I was actually reading an interesting thing that Lester Simerold said. Lester Simerold said, he talked about the gifts, the diversities of gifts. And what God wills to measure to somebody. Now God can measure to somebody more than somebody else. But it doesn't make the man that he measured it more tell that you glorify him. And the fellow that didn't do as much, you should have him the same. In other words, if God uses a man and he sweeps over the world and wins thousands, and some wee fellow wins two souls, you cannot lift up that man that won the thousands and down the man that won two souls. Because it's all how the Holy Spirit administers it. It's up to him. You can't do it if God doesn't need you to do it. And you can't do nothing unless God calls you to do it.
Amen.
You can't do it. It won't work. You'll be doing God a service without depending on the will of God. Now we know with regard to preach the gospel, we're told to do it. We believe that. We go out and do it. Don't we? We believe that. But we'll still admit there's men gifted. There is men gifted. And they get results when they preach because that's their calling and their gifted. And the Spirit's dealt that to them. But we don't lift them up and glorify them and down the other man. You know, that's been the problem, I believe, at this end time. That people have lifted a man up instead of Jesus up. How many believe that? It's the Lord Jesus Christ that did it. We didn't God was mighty to use. accused of God, but he said, I'm just your brother. You don't lift William Branham, you lift the God that he preached about Jesus Christ on.
Amen.
It's him that ultimately done it.
That's right.
But he was specially gifted.
Amen.
Just other men, Wigglesworth, Jeffrey Brothers, all them men were gifted, but it's ultimately the Spirit of God. Let's read this. John 16, verse 8 and 11. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin. Who? The Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit's job is to reprove the world of sin. That's the Spirit, the job of the Holy Ghost. And when he's coming to reprove the world of sin, of righteousness and of judgment, of sin because they believe not on me, of righteousness because I go to my Father and ye see me no more, of judgment because the prince of this world is judged already. So the Holy Spirit brings conviction. That's why we must be living in a way that the Holy Spirit can work with us. Amen. We want the Holy Spirit to work with us so that he can move amongst us. We want that. We ought to want it.
Amen.
How many wants that?
Amen.
I certainly want it.
Yes, Lord.
If the Holy Spirit can't move amongst us, something's wrong.
Amen.
We want the Holy Spirit to move amongst us.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You see, this brought forth the question. When Peter preached this great sermon, when the Holy Ghost was sent down from heaven, and when Peter preached this great sermon, it brought the question. Now, when you look at the book of Acts chapter 2 and verse 5, you'll notice it was the Jews. It says devout Jews in verse 5. So these devout Jews, the question was posed to them, what will we do? Because the Holy Spirit convicted them when Peter preached to them. And Peter gave them the answer in verse 38, in which he laid down God's standard for them until the end of this age. So the standard that Peter laid down in Acts 2:38 can't change.
Amen.
The standard he laid down continues from then to the end of the age.
Lord.
People say, I'm saved, but I don't need to get baptized in water. Well, you don't believe the Bible then. If somebody ever tells you that, you tell them back, you don't believe the Bible. Because we are commanded, according to the words of Jesus, to baptize people.
Amen. That's right.
He commanded it. You can't just leave it. It's commandment from the Lord.
That's right.
It's part of the gospel. These are the things that constitute the church.
That's
right. And one of them is water baptism.
Amen.
And God laid this down and it can't change. The conditions of the church membership, his word never changes. And the conditions of church membership is not signing a book. The first thing is repentance.
Right.
And you're baptized.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
Now let's look at this repentance. I'm not just going to be talking about water baptism. I want to talk about repentance first of all. This is the message. There must be repentance preached. Praise God. Some people don't really want real repentance. Repentance means a heart turn. Turn about. The thing you've done, you stop doing it. We know that. Now John the Baptist's first message in Matthew 3 verse 1 to 2, and I'm not going to read it for time, but John preached repentance. He preached repentance. He preached repent, the kingdom of God's at hand. John preached repentance. Now that's even before Jesus came in on the scene. We know he was there, but you understand what I'm saying? He hadn't been yet crucified. But John was preaching repentance. Then Christ's first message in Matthew 4:17 was also repentance. So John preached repentance, and Jesus Christ in Matthew 4:17 preached repentance. So that's the message. So John preaches it, Jesus preaches it, everybody must preach it. It's part of the gospel, repentance.
Amen.
Then you come on up, the apostles preach repentance in Acts 20, verse 21. On Acts 26 and 21. There's two scriptures for you. You can pick a scripture. Acts 20, 21, they preach repentance. Repent. This is only a few places. They preached it in loads of places. But they preached repentance. So we see that John preached repentance, Jesus preached repentance, and the book of Acts preached repentance. Now if we're going to have a constitution for New Testament church, then we must preach repentance. We cannot say we believe like they believe if we don't preach repentance. Now I won't have time to go into the gifts of the Spirit tonight, but just to say it quickly, we can't say we're a New Testament church either. If we say we do not believe in the gifts, we're not a New Testament church.
Amen.
We haven't got what they have. We're not even believing what they're believing. We must have all what the Word says in the book of Acts to be a proper New Testament church.
Amen.
Now the church has. Praise God.
Amen.
Many believe it tonight.
Amen.
Now repentance is the first principle of doctrine Christ preached. Look at Hebrews 6 verse 1 to 2. Hebrews 6 verse 1 to 2. Go ye therefore leaving the principle of the doctrines of Christ, let us run to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works. So that's your start. So even before faith, you've got repentance. Now we know he goes on further, we know that, but it starts off with repentance. So everything must start with repentance. It's not how we came. When God dealt with me, you hear me tell it over and over, every time I've told my testimony, I slipped out of the bed onto my knees and repented. That's how it started. Did you repent?
Amen.
You did.
Amen.
Didn't you say, Lord, I'm a sinner, and you repented? Now you don't repent to some man in the corner somewhere, you repent to the Lord.
Amen.
Because we're sinners and we have to repent.
Amen.
And I tell you, the Lord moves us on into faith then once we repent. And then all these other things the Bible talks about. Of the doctrine of baptism, of laying on of hands, of the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. These are all the things they preached.
Amen.
So they didn't just preach one avenue of it. They preached it all. And we must preach the full word of God. Amen. Now, if say me and Brother Gary, or John, or Ian, or some of these brothers, say we went and we did special meetings for the unsaved, there's some of these things we wouldn't need to preach. The first thing you're going to want to preach is simple salvation and repentance.
Amen.
There's no point trying to go into something to clean the fish to get the fish caught first.
Yes.
You have to catch the fish.
Right.
But once you've caught the fish and once you're believing, then you go on with things of God. And it's wonderful.
Amen.
It's great, you know.
Amen.
And you see, when you follow these steps right up the water box, tell them you're a candidate for the Holy Spirit, because the Word of God says you're promised the gift of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And I believe the gift of the Holy Spirit separate from salvation. I believe it's a separate thing, that you can be saved, absolutely saved, and you don't have the baptism, but then God can give you the gift of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It's a gift from God. And I tell you, it's a gift that we want to have, every one of us, praise God. So all through the Bible, in the first Luke, it is the first word of the gospel, then faith. Mark 1, 14, 15. You can look at Acts 20 and 21. Repentance is the first thing. So we see what constitutes a church. Now I'm only going to bring a part of this, what I'm thinking tonight, because I can't bring all of it in one message tonight, because you have to go into gifts and all the different things. And that's all part of what constitutes a real church. Amen. Now look at this water baptism. Water baptism by immersion was not optional in the early church, but a commandment by Christ and the apostles.
Right.
So it wasn't optional. So somebody's saying, I don't know if we'll bother with it, it wasn't optional. If you were going to be a real member, which you were born into, baptized into by one Spirit, then you're get baptized. That's the word of God.
Right.
It's not optional.
Right.
People say, well, it's optional to have faith in the cross. Forget about it. The faith in the cross is no choice.
Right.
You're not the faith in the cross.
Amen.
He has no choice. A lot of people take that totally out of context.
Right.
This is a commandment of the Lord. Now let's go to Matthew 28. A lot of people say there's a mistake here, but there's no mistake. This is God's word.
Amen.
And it does not contradict any other scripture, but the other scriptures fulfill this scripture.
Amen.
It's wonderful. It's no mistake.
Amen.
Amen. Now remember what we read in verse 36 of Acts 2. That God made this same Jesus who? Both Lord and Christ.
Right.
So if you're dealing in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll see what it is as we go through the scriptures. Amen. So Acts 2, Matthew 28, verse 19-20. This is a commission to the church. Everybody uses this, everybody preaches from it, and they should do. It's the word of God, it's a commission, and we believe it. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. So if somebody says we don't need teaching, that's contrary to the Bible.
Right.
You do need teaching.
Amen.
You need preaching and teaching. Both.
Amen.
And you'll notice Jesus himself, the Bible says, preached and taught.
Right.
He did both.
Amen.
Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
And you think the commission, William Branham had, look, he was a pastor, he had a ministry of a prophet, but God sent him to the work of an evangelist. And look how he was a great evangelist. He worked as an evangelist. Now his office was a prophet, but God still used him in that field. That's the way God can do it, the measure he gave to him. He was able to do that. Look how important God felt it was to tell him that.
Amen.
Do the work of an evangelist.
Amen.
And he won thousands of souls to the Lord. I'll tell you something, really. Now, if we say we believe all them things, we should have the same heart. That we should have a desire. If we claim we're the bride of Jesus Christ, and I'm claiming I'm part of it.
Amen.
We should have a desire for the lost. Because the bride would have a desire for the lost. That because she's part of Jesus, Mrs. Jesus Christ, she would have a desire for the lost. Praise God. And I believe that the true bride of Christ will have a desire for the lost. Amen. So go ye into all the world, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Isn't that some word? The Lord will always be with you. So he tells you to go forth and to baptize, teach and baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Now you know that the Father is a title and the Son is a title and the Holy Spirit is a title of the anointed Christ. Amen. You can have a man and he's a father and he has a son, but that's not his name.
Yes.
I'm a father, but my name's Thomas. I have a son, but his name's Daniel. So if I was to sign a check tonight, I wouldn't put father and son, I'd put Thomas and Daniel. And I would have fulfilled what he said. It's really simple, but I'm going to go more scriptures tonight. Not so much on to prove that point, but just to show you from the Word of God why it's out like that. Because God, the Lord himself commanded it, and them disciples fulfilled it. They did what he commanded. They followed his commandment. Before the cross and crucifixion, John the Baptist was ordained by God. In John 1, verse 19 to 32, Matthew 3, 13, 17. So you see that he's ordained by God. Before the crucifixion, John the Baptist was ordained of God. And you know John the Baptist went about and baptized people in the name of the Lord.
Amen.
And you could follow that and go over into the book of Acts, and you could see for people who are baptized under the baptism of John before the crucifixion, and they were commanded to be re-baptized. Because that baptism was only under the coming of Jesus. Under repentance. Under the old law and the old what they had then. But after Jesus was crucified, they came into a new dispensation. They came into what's called the time of grace and mercy. That's the dispensation of grace. Somebody knows that. Jesus brought in that dispensation of grace. And when Jesus brought in the dispensation of grace, you'll see they had to be re-baptized. Now after the resurrection and ascension, Christ's baptism was ordained of God in Matthew 28. So what I'm saying is, John's baptism was ordained of God. How many believe that?
Yes.
John went about, he baptized people, God ordained them to do it. Then in Matthew 28, Jesus Christ rises from the grave and he ordains a new baptism.
Amen.
That it's no more the way John done it in the name of the Lord, but to do it now in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. That's the way they're told to do it. From then on. Then you go to Acts 2:38 and you see the scripture in Acts 2:38. He's made this same Jesus both Lord and Christ. Amen. Now the Lord Jesus himself commanded for baptism to be done in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And this name was clearly revealed as the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You say, how is it? Because he took his Father's name. When you were born, whether you're McKinstry or an Anderson or a Jones, when you were born, you took that name. And even when you got married, whatever your name was before marrying, you changed it and you took your husband's name. And the Bible says that Jesus came in his Father's name. That's the Word of God. And you could prove, you could go into his deity here to Isaiah 9 verse 6 and a load of different scriptures and prove it. Now we know he's still the Son of God. Don't think that he's not the Son of God. He's still the Son of God. There's the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We believe that. There's three officers of one God. But there's one God.
Amen.
three offices of that one God. But still one God. Oneness is wrong, Trinity's wrong, and William Branham said it's right in the middle of the road. Now some of the ideas of the Trinity's maybe not wrong. But yet to say there's three persons, that's wrong. Because the Holy Spirit's not a person, the person's limited. As a person, I'm limited to in this room here. But the Holy Spirit's not. The Holy Spirit's everywhere. He can be anywhere. He's not limited. And the Bible says God is a spirit. So to label God as a person is not correct either, because God's a spirit. But Jesus Christ is a person. He's a person. The Lord Jesus Christ, born of the Virgin Mary. Made of a woman, the Bible said. And he died as a man died. All the scriptures tell us that. But in him was God. He was God's tabernacle. God was in him. The Bible says in Christ Jesus dwell the fullness of Godhead bodily. So the God was in his son. And he took his father's name. Praise God. But notice, I want you to see this. And I'm going to go slow just to get this. And I won't hold this too long. But this was interesting for me as well as I studied this out. And I've preached these things loads of times. And I knew the ones in the book of Acts, but I didn't realize these other ones. There's seven times that baptism's mentioned in the book of Acts. And not once is it in titles. Not once. It's in the name of Jesus Christ or the Lord Jesus every single time. But here's another one I didn't know. Seven times is it recorded in the epistles as well, baptism and water. And I didn't know that one. But I know it now because I studied it. So that's 14 times. 14 times after Matthew 28, Jesus gives the commission to the church. And in all the 14 times in your Bible, never once did the disciples ever say, I baptize you, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. They baptized according to the commission in the name of the Father, the Lord, the Son, Jesus, the Holy Ghost, Christ. Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, people say that there's a mistake in the scripture. There's not. Because Peter, we've read that Peter preached by inspiration sent down from heaven. And I showed you deliberately that it's the Spirit of God that brings conviction. Peter couldn't do it. And the Spirit of God came down on the day of Pentecost, and the Spirit of God brought conviction when Peter preached. And when Peter preached under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, and he preached Acts 2:38, he was fulfilling what Jesus commanded in Matthew 28, verse 19. He was fulfilling it. God was interpreting his own word. And everywhere you follow it, that's the way they baptize the name of Jesus Christ or the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Fulfilling the word of God. Seven times in the book of Acts, I'm not going to go through them all. Seven times in the epistle, every word speaks of water baptism as being in the name of the Lord or the Lord Jesus or Jesus Christ. When we study church history, we see that the one true way baptism was carried out up until 325 AD was always in the name of Jesus Christ. So the early church, after Pentecost, when the church began, they always baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But when they formed the Nicene Council in 325, they forbid it. And they brought in a doctrine of a Trinity, and they forbid them to baptize in the name of Jesus Christ, and they brought in three titles. But that's not the way the church started. Now let me read you this. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I would advise you to read the histories and find out for yourself. The following is a true record of baptism which took place in Rome in AD 100 and was reproduced in Time magazine December 5th, 1955. The deacon raised his hand. This is a report of a baptism. And Paulus Deicius stepped through the baptistry door. Standing waist deep in the pool was Marcus Vasca, the wood seller. He was smiling as Publius waded into the pool beside him. Cretus, he asked, Credo, responded, Paulus, I believe that my salvation comes from Jesus the Christ, who was crucified on the Pontius Pilate. With him I died, that with him I may have eternal life. Then I felt strong arms supporting him as he let himself fall backward into the pool and heard Marcus' voice in his ear, I baptize you in the name of the Lord Jesus, as the cold water closed over him. Right up until the truth was lost. Till it was lost. You say, how could the truth be lost? Why was it lost? But they didn't do it. The churches didn't do it. They stopped doing it. Right up until the truth was lost and did not return again until the last age. From the Nicene until the turn of the century, they baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, but it's come back. Satan can't keep a revelation down when the Spirit of God wants to give it.
Amen.
So God, by the Holy Spirit, brought the truth back.
Right.
And we know we are promised in the last days that God would bring all these truths back.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of churches, they don't baptize, right? Now, I'm not here to condemn any churches, but I'm only concerned for myself. I was baptized in Whitewell. I never once asked them how they baptized, but they did baptize me in the name of Jesus Christ. Well, 50 of us were baptized that night in the name of Jesus Christ. 50 people. But a lot of churches don't do that. They call titles over you. And it's not right. And you say it might make no difference. Well, then there's the Bible wrong. We can't say that. The Bible's right.
Amen.
God's word's the truth.
Amen.
Why is it that nowhere in the book of Acts, nowhere in the epistles, did they say three titles, but they did it in the name, not the titles?
Amen.
Now, you cannot build a doctrine on one scripture. You can't do that. You cannot isolate one script. People do it with the prophet's message. They take one weak quote and they make a doctrine. You can't do it. I'm telling you, in the night, you can't do it. When you take a doctrine in this Bible, it must dovetail through the scripture. It must go through the whole Bible. That's how God does it. And even these truths on baptism, we see it starts way back, right with John, Jesus, right up to the apostles, and God just continues the truth on, further revelation. He never takes away, so when the preach gifts are away, we know that's a lie. Because he never takes away, adds to. Amen. Now listen to this. Yes, if there was three gods, you might very well baptize the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. But the revelation given to John was that there's one God and his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. And you baptize for one God and only one. That is why Peter baptized the way he did at Pentecost. He had to be true to the revelation, which was, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made the same Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. He is Lord and Christ. That's the word of God. Acts 2:36. Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
If Jesus is both Lord and Christ, then he is Jesus, is, cannot be no one else, the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost in one person. Manifest in the flesh. It's not God in three persons, blessed Trinity, but one God, one person with three major titles and three offices. So God in heaven came down into Jesus Christ in fullness. Now, there's people claiming that there's another man here and there and he had the same as Jesus. I don't believe a word of it. Now, but honest, there's no scripture for that teaching. How many of you can see that there's no scripture for that? If that was the case, that man would never be fit to sin. Do you realize that? Jesus Christ couldn't sin. Because the fullness of God was in him. And this is why the Bible says he did not receive the Spirit by measure, but fullness.
Amen.
Amen? The fullness of the Godhead was in Christ, not a part of it, fullness. That's why he's God. He's God's Son, but that made him God, because God was in him.
Amen?
Praise God. God in three persons, look, with major titles, three officers manifesting those titles. Here it is once more. This same Jesus, both Lord and Christ, Lord the Father, and Christ the Holy Spirit, and Jesus, he is Jesus, both of them, Lord and Christ. If that doesn't show us the true revelation of the Godhead, nothing will. That shows you. Nothing else will, he says. Now that's just a quotation I want to read. No doctrine of the scripture can be built on one verse only. It can't. You could take one verse and just make something out of it. Do you realize some of the things that's going around the world because a man took one statement and he took one weak statement and he made something out of it? And especially if it's a man's words, especially when that man makes no claims to that. He himself says, my words will fail, but his won't. to Jesus Christ will not fail. This book will not fail. This is why you pointed to this book. This is God's Word. This Word stood the test of time. It's still the best-selling book in the world. It's God's truth. It's a manna from heaven. And the true church must be established upon the true doctrine of this book. A true repentance, true water baptism in the name of Jesus Christ. Praise God. Now look at this. Every scripture, look, viewed in the light of the verses, not just one verse, Matthew 28:19 is the truth of Acts 2:38. Both are correct, both belong to each other. The one is the interpretation by the Spirit of the other. Matthew 28, as preachers have told me, that Matthew 28 contradicts Acts 2:38. A man that went through a Bible college, a well-known minister, and he's not in this country now, so don't be worrying and thinking who it is. He's away, he's not even in this country, but I was really friendly with him, I respected him. But he told me Matthew 28 and Acts 2 contradicted each other, they do not. Because you see, John baptized in the name of the Lord, but then Jesus says in Matthew 28, now, after him crucified and he's resurrected, baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Is that contradicting what John did? No. But what's happened is you're in a different dispensation. John's baptism is not enough no more, because you're no longer under the old law. You're under the mercy of Jesus Christ at Calvary. And the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit is the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew, Acts 2:36 proves that.
Amen.
And seven scriptures in the book of Acts state it, and seven scriptures through the epistle state it. And nowhere after Jesus gave the commission did they call three titles, not once.
Right.
But yet a man can say he made a mistake. I don't believe there's mistakes in the Bible. I'm sorry. If there's mistakes in this Bible, we're being... Now you could have a man and there's mistakes and I could make a mistake. I'll admit that. You could. Whether you want to admit it or not, that won't make a difference. But I can guarantee you could make a mistake.
Every
man. I could.
Every.
I'm sure I have. I've probably said things in my own self that was just me. But this word's not wrong.
Amen.
This is God's absolute.
Right.
This is the Word of God. And when the Spirit of God comes and if the Spirit really speaks, that's not a mistake. That'll be the truth.
Amen.
And the Spirit of God really speaks, that will be the truth. And this word's the truth. Amen? Amen. Does the book of Revelation say, let him that hath an ear hear what the Spirit saith to the churches?
Amen.
So the Spirit of God has promised to speak to the churches down through seven church ages.
Amen.
And the Spirit of God has definitely spoken. There's no record in the Acts or the epistles of the disciples. Merely listen to this now. Never wrote this today. There's no word for they just merely quote the commandment of Matthew 28. Just quote it. They don't do it. But they fulfill it. No one fulfills a command by quoting it. So people can quote things and say they believe it. But that doesn't mean they believe it. I know both people that say I'm a Christian, but they're not. How many of you understand what I'm saying?
Right.
By quoting something does not prove you believe it.
Yeah, that's right.
Act it out and let me see it.
Right.
If you're a Christian, well then it'll be proved.
Amen.
And they didn't just do this by quoting, but they actually did it. They believed it. Amen. The disciples didn't quote it to command. They took the name of Jesus Christ, water baptism, fulfilling the words of the Lord himself, Matthew 28. Now I'm almost finished. Let me get this. They followed the commandment, Matthew 28. They took the name, in Acts 2:38, they took the name. So they went down into the waters of baptism, and they took the name. Just like if you're a sister and you get married, whatever your name was before, and you took your husband's name, you become part of him. You become one, the Bible says. No more twain but one flesh. Not the Word of God.
Right. Amen.
And you're now one with the Lord because you took his name.
Glory.
Isn't that something?
Praise the Lord.
You're part of the bride of Jesus Christ, part of the body.
Amen.
How about yes, the Bible says by one Spirit.
Amen.
You're baptized into one body. It's not two bodies. There's one body and there's one Spirit. Also, declaring the spiritual truth of water baptism has set forth. They did it. They declared the spiritual truth of Romans 6, verse 3 to 4. Know ye not that so many as of us were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. So when you go down in the water, it's a type of dying. Just like Jesus on the cross died and he went into the ground and God raised him on the third day, you go into the death of baptism and you take his name. Then when you're lifted out, that's a sign to the world and everybody, you are testifying, I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. That's what you're doing. You're buried with him and you're raised with him.
Amen.
You've had your Calvary left in a tank. Praise God. That's why Mark 3 down Acts 6, 3 to 4. Let me read it again. Know ye not that so many as of were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? So when you're put down there under the waters, that's a type of when Christ died. Isn't that really beautiful? And when you're brought out, that's a type of the resurrection.
Amen.
And you are testifying to the world,
glory,
I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. I have took his name.
Right.
I'm not ashamed of the Lord.
Amen.
Took his name, praise God.
That's right.
Amen. Therefore we are buried with him in baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead, the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life. Now just a couple of scriptures and I'm closing. It's half past. Just two more minutes and I'll close. There's so many scriptures. You could go through the book of Acts and all these epistles, what I've told you. My other Bible, it's not in this Bible, but I used to have every scripture marked where they received the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts. And it's wonderful. And you could do it on the water baptism as well. It's nice to have them things in your Bible, isn't it?
Amen.
Acts 8, verse 12 and 16. And when they believed Philip's preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip, and wondering, beholding the miracles and signs which are done. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost, for as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only that they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now I've heard people that are dogmatic that when you get baptized and you should never be praying for the Holy Spirit. Well, why did they pray for these fellas? How many can see this? Yes. All I'm saying is, don't go too strict in something, because you can find a scripture that undoes your strictness.
Yes.
Now, you will receive the Holy Spirit and baptism if you're a candidate for it, but you can still be praying for to get the Holy Ghost in Scripture. We're not definitely against praying for people to get the Holy Ghost. We should be all for it. How many believes that? You believe, they don't believe the Bible then. Look at the word of God again. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them. Only they were baptized in the name of the Lord. So they were candidates for it. They were baptized right. And then they got the Holy Ghost. Amen? So follow your instructions. What are you going to do? You're going to get the Holy Ghost. Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
Now there's people who get it. As soon as they bring that water, they get it.
Amen.
They do get it. There's cases where people's got it.
Amen. He shall. Amen.
I tell you, God can do it. I didn't.
Glory.
I was baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. I didn't get the Holy Ghost then. I've been honest about it. I never got it then. I'll tell you when I got it. I got it quite a time after, praying in my own room, waiting on God. The power of God come on me, and the Spirit of God baptized me. I'll never forget it. But I can guarantee you, nobody ever had to tell me in a meeting, did you know you got it? I knew I had it. I knew I had it. It's an experience. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is an experience I believe you will never forget. How many agrees with me tonight? I believe that with all my heart. Somebody said they got it but didn't know it. That's all right. Look, that's fine. If you believe that, that's fine. But that never happened to me like that. And when these people in the Bible got it, they knew they had it. Do you believe that? But God can definitely give you the Holy Ghost. Now I haven't time to go on tonight in about the Holy Ghost. Look, let me read you Galatians 3:27. For as many as you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. When you take that name, you are a candidate for the Holy Spirit. You heard the Father quoted the other week scripture. When he quoted, he gives the Holy Spirit to them that obey him. What are you doing when you take his name in baptism? You're obeying him. You're obeying the commandment the Lord gave. You're obeying the commission the Lord gave. Now if you've done that and you feel you still don't have the Holy Spirit, God's going to give you. If you're sincere, he'll give you. I believe that with all my heart. Do you believe it tonight? Acts 19 verse 1 to 8, you can read it. Let me just read a couple of verses quickly. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul having passed through the upper coast came to Ephesus and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? So they were relieved, but they hadn't the Holy Ghost. And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be a Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, unto what then we baptized? And they said unto John's baptism. There's the one I quoted you at the start. So these men were baptized unto John's baptism. Now remember, Jesus came with a further revelation because of dispensation change. How many can see that plain? Now what I mean by that is, you don't go out and sacrifice a bullock no more. You're not looking for the Lamb of God coming. He's came. You're no longer in that time saved. But they were baptized in the name of the Lord. And verse 4, then Paul and John verily baptized them with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him who should come after him, that's after John, that is on Christ Jesus. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they speak with tongues and prophesied. Ain't that powerful? Praise God. Many believe that. And all the men were about 12, and he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. So these fellows at John's baptism, and it wasn't enough. But they got a new baptism. They got 2 baptisms. 3. You said 3. Yes. John's baptized in water in the name of Jesus Christ. The third one was the baptism of the Holy Ghost. How many believe that? They were baptized twice in water. Once for the Holy Ghost. Now, what did John say? John said, there's one standing amongst you whose shoe latches are not worthy to unloose. He says, I will baptize you in water under repentance, but he's mightier than me. He's greater than me. He will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire.
Amen.
That's the Lord.
Glory.
And we want the fire of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And how are you going to get it? Follow the word of God.
Amen.
Follow the commandments of God. And when we follow the commandments of God and follow the word of God, we are candidates for to receive the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Praise God. So if you've never been baptized in water, that's your first step. Then your next step, four square gospel. How many believes it? Savior, healer, baptized in the Holy Ghost, come and came. So once you get baptized, and look, you can see in these scriptures, you can see as well, people received the Holy Spirit and they never were at water.
Right.
They never got baptized in water and received the Holy Ghost. Then you can see, for they got baptized in water and still had to get prayed for to get the Holy Ghost. So you can see it two ways here. Now it doesn't undo the fact of getting baptized. It's the truth. And it doesn't undo the fact that we still need the Holy Ghost. It's still the truth. So whether you've been baptized in water and you had it before or after it, just one thing, get it. Get the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Amen.
Seek the Lord for it. Prepare yourself. Wait upon the Lord. Seek for the Holy Spirit. You know, I'm sure you have wee fellas like I have. I know some of you have. And they could, Dad could have this, Mum could have this. And you say no, but if you keep on girding enough, you'll get them it. Isn't that right? That's the Bible. We even know how to give good gifts on to our children. How much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Ghost then, lesson? And I'm closing by saying this. I told you at the very start of the meeting, this is the end of the age. Nobody, I don't care who he is, what degrees he has, he cannot change this word. What God has said, this is to the end of the age. This is the we go of the Lord Texas. This word can't be changed. God won't change it. There's no new system. There's no new way.
Amen.
It's back to the original word of God. That's what it's all about. Back, this word is original. This is the truth. Let's come and seek the Lord tonight. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you this evening for this book called the Bible. Lord, we know this is a manna from heaven. We know this written word's manna, and we know that Jesus Christ himself came down, was the living word of God sent from the Father. We thank you for your words tonight. Lord, our words would fail. Even a prophet said, my words would fail, but his won't. We know that your words can never fail. They're yea and they're amen in Christ Jesus. You're not a man that you should repent. In other words, you are the Son of God, the only begotten Son of God, full of truth and full of light, full of grace. Lord, we've come to worship and praise you tonight, for we know you're worthy to be praised. Father, I pray for everyone in this room, and if somebody would hear this message and they need to come right through to water baptism, may you give them the revelation on it, that they'll see it from your word. And may you fill them with the Holy Spirit. And Lord, for those that's seeking for the Holy Spirit, Lord, I pray you'll baptize them with the Holy Ghost and fire. And Lord, for us that's had a baptism, fill us again. Endure us again. Come on us again. Fill us again, O Lord, with a genuine Holy Spirit, we pray. Lord God, move upon us to the meetings by the power of the Holy Spirit. Help us to walk in the light of your word. Help us to walk in the truth, for your word is truth. And help us, Lord, to do the things the Holy Spirit that's pleasing to the Holy Spirit. Help us not to grieve the Spirit. Help us to be led by the Spirit. Help us to pray in Spirit and truth. Help us to preach sermons in the Holy Ghost, I pray. Help us, Lord, anoint your people and anoint your word to your people. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Father, ask for all the ones that's recently got saved to pray you'll strengthen them, pray you'll bless them, pray and encourage them to read your word and study your word and seek for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Pray for Ian Brown tonight, that man, Lord, that made a decision. I pray, Lord Jesus, you'll bring him right through to the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that you'll fill him and baptize him, Lord. Open his understanding more, Lord, to see the things of God, I pray, in Jesus' precious name. Break every fetter that holds him and binds him tonight, in Jesus Christ's name. We plead the blood of Jesus over him. And Father, for every other girl or boy that's made a decision, cover them with your blood. Keep them, Lord, in these evil days and watch over them. Lord, I pray for your own people in this house tonight to bless them and strengthen them. Lord, for those at home that maybe need a touch, give them your touch. Minister your touch onto them. I pray tonight in Jesus' precious name. If any are sick or laid aside, heal them. And Lord, strengthen them in Jesus' precious name tonight. And Father, we commit the service to you and our lives afresh to you. And we acknowledge you in all our ways, knowing that you will direct our paths. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Father, pray for Sister Carl and the boys as they go over to see their mom in Scotland at the weekend of Lammas Tarry. Pray you bless them. Pray you cover them with your blood as they go and keep them safe. And watch over them. We do pray again for Sister Rita. Lord, she's precious to us, Lord. She's a sister that's bold, that's got faith. Lord, we thank you for her life, for her testimony, how you saved her, Lord, and you delivered her and set her free. And we pray you bless her and strengthen her. And bring her back into strength and health. In Jesus' precious name we ask it. We ask your blessing upon her tonight. And may Carl and the family be a blessing till as they go. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Just let's continue to seek the Lord tonight.